Greatest one in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here and think about where we fit into God's kingdom. I appreciate that poem you read this morning, Dwayne. I remember memorizing it in school. Couldn't say the whole thing by memory, although many phrases came to memory as you read. And I do remember memorizing some additional stanzas at the end, so I quickly looked it up, but I don't know if it was something that one of our teachers had written or somewhere else, but I did write an ending that had something to do with a remnant and coming out and being faithful. Maybe somebody knows that and can recite it by memory to finish that out for us. Well, we won't take the time for that. You know, the devil, he just asked for one more thing, just one more thing, just one little thing here, just one little thing there. And he's asking us those questions all the time. So what was it this week that he was asking you for? Just this over here, just this over there. What was he asking you for? Maybe he left you alone this week. Probably not. Not if he's the same to you as he is to me. The evil one, he just keeps on asking for a little bit here and there. Well, we're going to focus on our hope that we have this morning. And for a message this morning, I like to think of pioneers of the faith. Pioneers of the faith. And when you think about pioneers, what do you think of? I immediately think of people who came from the old world, came over here to America, and came and started cutting down trees and building log cabins and making roads and laying out towns and finding food and clearing fields and think about people that died along the way. Think about people that faced hardship, explorers that went out. And it always fascinated me. Some people, when they think about pioneers, they might think about the ocean, or they might think about medicine, or they might think about something else. There's pioneers in a lot of different things. But I've always been fascinated with the pioneers that would come and clear the land and make a place and chase out the wild animals and dealt with the Indians. You know, that's why Hollidaysburg is called Hollidaysburg, because the Holiday family was killed by the Indians. And so they named the town after the Indians after the Holiday family when they came back and resettled it. It's a very real thing that happened in this area. Thought about, I think the boys have a coonskin lookalike cap around there somewhere. Thought about throwing that on this morning, but I didn't want the illustration. We need enough illustrations to keep it interesting, but not too far that it takes away from the point. So before your mind runs too wild on stories of Boone or Crockett or Lewis and Clark and people like that, let's focus on the real pioneers that went before us. I don't want to think about the temporary ones. I want to think about the ones that are forever, the pioneers. And first of all, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 and look at the ultimate pioneer. There's three verses here I want to read. Think about the ultimate pioneer of the faith, Jesus Christ, the one who laid down his life for us, who blazed the way that we can follow right in behind him. And then I'd like to go over to Paul and look at some of Paul's experiences as one of the greatest pioneers after Christ. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." We'll look at Paul then, and then look at some present day ways that we are pioneers. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." So this just really puts the gospel in a nutshell. Here we have Jesus, who went before us. He says here that we are compassed about. It's like an arena with all the people sitting around watching. And I used to think of it as the world, but if you look it up, it's more the people who have gone on before us, the people of faith, are watching the church today And we have all these people who've gone on before us that were witnesses. They were martyrs. That word, cloud of witnesses, brings out the thought of martyr. They've gone before us. They've showed us the way. They were pioneers. Lay aside the weight and the sin that doth beset us. Thinking about the besetting sin is thinking about like a racer, more not like a racer on a track, someone that's in a cross-country marathon of some kind where everything's coming at them. They have to go through the hardest part of the hardest race they could think of, and they put these people out there and make them run these races, or give them the opportunity to run these races, and they do. But from every direction, there's things coming at them. And that's the thought that he has here, that these sins are just besetting us. They're thwarting from every direction. It's the word the Bible dictionary gave. Let us run with patience. Patience is cheerful endurance, this race. Looking unto Jesus, the author. Author is also translated captain or prince or chief leader. We're looking forward to the one that put this together. And he also was the finisher, the completer. Jesus is the ultimate pioneer of our faith. He came up with a plan, and then he completed it. He paved the way that we can follow after. He paid the ultimate price. He laid down his life. We think about pioneers being willing to die because of freedom they thought that they could get, something they were looking for, and it was worth so much to them. Many of them died by the way. Jesus laid down his life so we could live it successfully, and he's still our captain today. He's still in control today. Every soul that enters into the kingdom enters through Jesus. And the right Hebrew writer here says we need to consider him. We need to think about it. We need to ponder on this. Consider Jesus. Think about it. What did he do? You know, all the apostles that went on before us, they were all martyred except for John. They all laid down their life in many different ways. You can get out the martyr's mirror, and it has them all listed. Different ways that they were either burned to death or crucified or tortured in many different ways, beheaded. All these witnesses went before us. And we have many more witnesses that went before us. I think about my grandfather, the life that he lived. He's gone. I think about mentors that I've had that have gone on. Thought about another one this weekend, thought about for a long time. But as a young man, took an interest in me, and I talked to him different times about important things. And, you know, he died of cancer at a very young age. And that has an impact on your life. These are witnesses that have gone on before us. And we remember the legacy that lives on from their lives and the sacrifices that they made. And it wasn't just because they were born and raised during the Depression. Some of these people made these choices because they loved the kingdom and they wanted every resource they could have available for the kingdom of God. Well, we can all be winners. That's what's so exciting about this. We can all be winners in this race. Everyone strives, but in an earthly life, only one person gets the crown. And maybe three or four people break the record that was set before, but only one person gets the crown because he was the fastest. Unless there was a tie. In the Christian life, we're all winners. We can all make it. But there are many, many obstacles. Now, we've been reading through the stories of Saul, and then Paul. We've been reading through Acts in our family worship. And I've been impressed with how many different things happened to him. And that's what I want to look at this morning. How many things he was willing to lay down, and in the early church, Peter and James and the other one, things that they were willing to lay down for the gospel. And there's a lot of different pioneers we can look at, but I want to look at Paul. Paul, a pioneer of faith. He took a gospel to many places it never was before. We talk about Paul's three missionary journeys and then his last trip to Rome that he did not come back from, where he laid down his life. And he went through so many things. So we're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Acts. If you want to turn, just get close to the book of Acts a while. We're going to jump around a good bit, and I'll try to end as timely as possible, but I did have a lot of information. Acts chapter 9, verse 11, let's look at how Paul's life began. The first point I want to make is that Paul was a man of prayer. the second part of the message is Paul, pioneer of the faith. And the first point is Paul was a man of prayer. If you go to chapter 9, verse 11, what happened after he was struck down on the road to Damascus and he went into the city blind? What did he do? Ananias was sent to find him. God told Ananias, he says in verse 11, the Lord said unto him, Ananias, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Saul began his Christian life praying, prayed and prayed and prayed. And he talks a lot about prayer, and he prayed often. And he told us to pray for everybody. Pray for sinners and saints. Pray for the government leaders. You see him just telling us to pray quite a bit. If you go over to 2 Timothy 4:16, I'll just read that for you. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me. This is him near the end of his life, being taken before government leaders. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. That was near the end of his life as he was standing and giving account before men. And he had no one to be there with him. No other believers. He was before the Sanhedrin. Well, we'll talk about some of that later. But he prayed. And he prayed that God wouldn't lay it to anybody's charge. He was still a praying man. Number two under Paul. Paul was a chosen vessel. And Paul talks about vessels a number of times in his ministry. But here in Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16, God says this about Paul. But the Lord said unto him, this is to Ananias, go thy way, for he's talking about Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Talk about Paul being the man who was chosen to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, when Peter and Paul both were. But Paul also took the gospel to the Jews first in every city. And when they rejected him, he turned to the Gentiles and preached to them as well. But he says here, this man is a chosen vessel. What's a vessel? We don't think of it as vessel anymore, but this would be considered a vessel, a cup, a dish, a plate, all vessels. A vessel has a purpose. It carries something else, usually of more value than the dish, because when the dish breaks, we just get another one, and we forget it. We forget about that dish. The vessel is not as important as what was put in it. The vessel doesn't normally change. Most of our vessels don't change what's put in it. What was put in it remains the same. Think about a plate of food. You can put food into a lot of different plates. Why do we put food on a plate? Well, it's so that we can eat it easier, so we can carry it, so we can save it for a later time. We use vessels for a lot of different things. You can use that same vessel and put money in it, something valuable. You can use that vessel and put the scraps or the slop, take it out to the animals to be thrown out. Same vessels can be used for many different things. Paul spoke of vessels a number of times. Romans 9:21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? So he talks about vessels being used for multiple different things. Some vessels are made for honor, and that's what we want to be this morning. And that's what Paul was, a vessel of honor. He also talked about vessels of mercy, sent to show God's mercy to other people. He talked about earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we're all carrying something. What are we carrying? And are we worthy to carry the gospel? We know we're definitely earthen vessels, but are we, you know, we're faulty. We can be chipped. We can be broken. A lot of things can happen to us. But are we worthy vessels? He talks about, in 2 Timothy 2, he talks about purging herself from sin and being a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That's the vessel that we are made to be, a vessel to be used of God. Paul was a vessel for God. Only when we are willing to be used as a vessel can we be a pioneer for God. We can't be a pioneer for God in the kingdom if we aren't willing to be used. Just discussing this thing this week with somebody. How do I know what God wants for my life? How do I know what God wants me to be? What direction should I take? I've got several options. What should I do? We are a vessel, and we don't always know what the next step is or what we are to carry or what we are to do. We're here to be used of God. Maybe it's food for someone. Maybe it's something very valuable, but it has to be hidden. You know, most of the vessels that carry diamonds, you don't know that the diamonds are in there. They hide it. They don't want people to see. Otherwise, it might be stolen. We don't know. Maybe we have something important, but God wants us to hide it for a time. I thought about Moses on the backside of the desert. How many years was he back there? There he was, one of the most educated people in the world, leader of God's people, defender of God's people. And there he hid on the backside of the desert for 40 years. That's where God wanted him. God had lessons to teach him there too. So it's not always fun. It's not always fun being a vessel. It makes me think of my coffee mugs, and it makes my children smile because I've gone through quite a few probably. Some vessels have been used hard. Chipped, missing handles, broken, lost, found again, abused again. You know, that's what happens as a vessel. It can be hard to allow ourselves to be used. Very hard to allow ourselves to be used. How was it for Paul? And I don't know if, I mean, you read through the martyr's mirror. There were people that gave a lot for God. But Paul gave an awful lot for God's kingdom. He was willing to be used. He was quite the pioneer. And I want to look at probably, I think it's 13 different things I have here in Paul's life, things that happened to him, things that he suffered because of the gospel. First of all, Paul was plotted against. He was plotted against. Acts 9, I'll just look at some of these places. 9, verse 23 and to 25, and after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, but their laying in wait was known of Paul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Paul was plotted against in Damascus. Just go a little farther, verse 29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. It wasn't just the Jews. It was also the Grecians going about to slay him. Go back to Acts chapter 20. In verse 3, here in Macedonia. And there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, he was about to sail unto Syria. He purposed to return through Macedonia. So he was going to go the one way, and he found out the Jews were going to kill him. So he turned and went a different way. Turn over to chapter 21, verse 30 to 33. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And they went about to kill him. Tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. I wish I could read all the context of this. But here was Paul, and the people took him, and they were getting ready to kill him, and the captain had to quick run down there with the soldiers and stop him before he was able to kill him. Chapter 23, verse 10. And there arose a great dissension. The chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down to take him by force from among them and bring him into the castle. Here's another time the same thing happened. And a little bit later, you have in the same chapter, you have the story of the boy that found out that there was 40 men that had a conspiracy against Paul. They were going to kill him and wouldn't eat or drink until they did. When has this happened to you? When has this happened to me that we knew that somebody was laying in wait and we had to be really careful because one of the neighbors was really upset about us sharing the gospel, and if they had an opportunity, they would shoot us. We don't worry about that. Do you know how much mental distress it is to worry that your life is going to be taken? It can be very distressing. We worry sometimes that we might die, but we don't worry that if we drive down the road, a neighbor's going to jump out and stop us and shoot us. We don't worry about that. What's the second thing I have here? And there was more times. Second thing I have here is that he was mistrusted by the believers. Back to Acts chapter 9, verse 15, verse 26, 9:26. When he first became a believer and gave his heart, the people, they were all afraid of him, it says, and believed not that was he was a disciple. They didn't believe it. You're not going to be a pioneer here. This isn't who you are. Number three, if you go over to Philippians, he was disliked by some believers. Philippians 1, verse 14, talks about that, how some of the believers didn't like him. We look at Paul as being a great person. Everybody should have liked him, right? It wasn't that way in real life. Many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preaches Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And he says there's many out there that preach the gospel for the right reason, but there's people out there that are telling it because they're trying to wear me down, because they're mixing stuff up and they're preaching against me. He was disliked by some people. Number four, his work was constantly opposed by his own countrymen and others. And there's a number of references for that as well, how people went about to try to stop his work, not just in killing him, but other ways. Acts 13, verse 44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Paul got up to speak. People jumped up and started saying the opposite. We don't have that happen here. Of course, we're all believers here. He was going into the Jews and was preaching them Christ, but they were standing up and contradicting him. We don't have people in here shouting down the pastor when he's preaching. Paul experienced that. He knew what it was like to try to share the gospel and have people jump up and start arguing with him. In chapter 14, the next chapter, verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hand. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And there it talks about how they went about to stone him. There's just a number more. Chapter 17, verse 5. The Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring him out to the people. These are the things that Paul experienced. Verse 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Paul couldn't get away from it. He didn't get a break. It seemed like constantly he was being harassed because he believed in Jesus. Chapter 18, verse 6. Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said, your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. Here was the own Jews himself, and he had to break with them. In Ephesus, it happened as well. What else happened to Paul? Number five, he was stoned and left for dead. You'll find that in chapter 14, verse 19. He was stoned, they left him for dead, and the believers gathered around him, and suddenly Paul started to move. And they helped him up and helped him back in the city. Can you imagine being stoned? You get hit one time by a little walnut, it hurts, right? If people are throwing stones at you enough that they knock you out, can you imagine how sore you would be the next day? I am sure that God strengthened him, but that doesn't mean God took away all the pain. Number six, he was subject to satanic pressure. Find that number different places. Acts 13, verse 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Here Paul was witnessing, and here comes this sorcerer, and he starts saying the opposite. You also have the young girl who spoke against them. And Paul, she started following them around, and then she said, this is, maybe I should just look that up. These people are preaching Jesus, the Son of the living God. Just a number of different places. It's Acts 16:16, 1 Thessalonians 2:18, 2 Corinthians 12:7, all different places where Paul faced the pressures from the devil. The one place this, the messenger from Satan came to buffet him, you remember that. Number seven, what else happened to Paul? Acts 16, verse 19. He was beaten and jailed in Philippi. You remember it was Paul and Silas, I believe, were beaten there. And then, of course, there was the earthquake and the light. But they were in there singing. Paul and... Number eight, Paul was ridiculed at Athens. Look up Acts chapter 17. I wanted to read verses here. 17, verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. What's this babbler? What names would you like to be called? We take that pretty personal, pretty quick. I think we need to be treated better than that. And when they, in verse 32, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Let's bring him back in again later on. I don't know if that was mocking or not mocking, but some did mock him. He was also ridiculed at Caesarea in chapter 26, verse 24. Festus, with a loud voice, said, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. You are out of your brain. You're out of it. Your learning has made you mad. Number nine, what else happened to Paul the pioneer? He was often falsely accused. Falsely accused. Chapter 24, verse 5, talks about this. Says when he was before Felix, they brought in people and they said, we have found this man, a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But chief captain Lysias came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands. We don't have all the stories, but I mean all the details of the story, but they would have judged him themselves, but along came this other group with violence and took him away. But falsely accused, and this really goes against our grain when people start telling us, calling us, things like that. Chapter 25, verse 7 says, they came down from Jerusalem, stood round about, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. But still, were accused. And you see that in the world today. Sometimes people are accused, and they're acquitted, or they can't find enough evidence, but that can follow them the rest of the way through their life, that they were accused of this thing. Did you hear that they think he did this? And I think it's probably rude, but they couldn't prove it, so they let him go. Paul was accused for the many things he did not do. Number 10, what else happened to Paul? He endured a terrifying storm on the ocean when he was headed to Rome, when he had appealed to Caesar. And he was headed out across there. He told him not to take the boat because something terrible was going to happen. And he gets in the middle of a hurricane of some kind, typhoon of some kind, a storm on the Mediterranean there. And and they were wrecked. Of course, there was much anguish before that, but the angel came and spoke to Paul. Why would a man of God have to go through something like this? Doesn't God take care of us? Doesn't God make sure bad things don't happen to good people? What happened after he got shipwrecked? And they're there on the island. They went about gathering up sticks, and they made a fire. Remember the next thing that happened to Paul? Number 11, he was bitten by a poisonous snake. You know how terrifying snakes are? Should I brought a snake in here this morning? I know what kind they are. I'm okay with it. I'll even pick them up, but not poisonous snakes. I don't mess with them. Paul was bitten by a poisonous snake, something he had to offer because he had to, something he had to go through because of the gospel. Number 12, Paul was imprisoned, thrown in jail for no good reason. He hadn't done anything wrong but preach the gospel. That's the only thing he had done, thrown in jail. In Caesarea, he was in jail for 2 years. 2 years he was in jail before he was sent to Rome. I have a number of references for there too. That was in chapter 24, verse 27, talks about that. In Rome, I have a number of references there too if you want them. We don't have time for that. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 for the last point. Number 12 was he was in prison. Number 13, he was forsaken by all. 2 Timothy 4 talks about this, which I read the one verse before, but there's another one there as well. 2 Timothy 4 verse 10 says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." And then in verse 16, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid unto their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, that I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." He had all men forsake him, but not the Lord. Not the Lord. The Lord did not forsake him. What was Paul's testimony through all of this? Just a couple of verses about testimony that Paul had. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Testimony that Paul had at the end of his life. I don't know if this one was at the end of his life. Second Corinthians 1, verse 3. Verse 3 through 6. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And this is what he said about all the trouble he went through. He said, I found comfort in God through all these things. Paul found comfort, and through going through these hard times, it made him able to comfort other people as well. Turn over to chapter 4, verse 8. More of Paul's testimony. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. That was his testimony. All these bad things are happening to me, but we're going to keep right on going because we know it's worth dying for. This is very much unlike the pioneers. When they went out there and tried to settle a new area, they were going to die, and that was going to be it. And they named many places after them, so there would be remembrance of them when they were gone. But not in the Christian life. We can always get up. We know we're going to be victor. We know that all the dying helps us live better. Chapter 6, verse 4. Paul's testimony. "But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost of love unfeigned, He's talking, he just says, you know, we've gone through all, and we could keep reading there. Well, maybe I should. By the word of God, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing but possessing all things. That's how Paul looked at his life. Everything was falling apart all the time, and yet it was all coming together for him. We could also look at Philippians 3, 7 to 11, and Romans 8, verse 18, both testimonies of Paul. We are pioneers of the gospel. We are pioneers of the gospel. Or are we? And that's the challenge today. That's the challenge in this message today. We live in a very church society. Was a very church society, but it is growing darker. People know about church. That's all they know, but they don't want church. We can all be pioneers of the faith. We can take the gospel to hearts that are darkened. We can take the gospel to people that don't know. Those hearts are a wilderness. Those hearts, they need help in finding their way. And we can lighten the way. We can all be a pioneer for the gospel. We can take the love of Jesus and tame the wild men, make them whole again. Just like Jesus did to that man called Legion and had all the demons in him. And Jesus went up there and people came back later and he had his clothes on. He was in his right mind. He was sitting there like a normal person. We can help that happen. People's lives are out of control, just like that man today. We can give them Christ and help them to have a sane life. Pioneers didn't just live several hundred years ago. Pioneers are living today. And we don't need to look for Mars to go be a pioneer. You know, the people of this earth, they're looking for something bigger, greater, somewhere else to go be a pioneer. We can be a pioneer for the gospel today, right here. What will our testimony be? What do we have to do to be a pioneer of the gospel? We have to leave. We have to leave. We have to leave our sin. We have to leave our old life. We can't stand our old life and being a pioneer. We have to leave. Pioneers of years ago, they had to leave. They had to go out in the wilderness. They couldn't stay in a nice plush home in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh. They had to leave those places and give up almost all their everything they owned, fit it in a covered wagon and go across the prairie or whatever they did. We have to leave a lot behind. What else do we have to do to be pioneers of the gospel? Number two, we have to look for food every day. You know, the pioneers, they headed out across. They only had so much supplies. They had to look for food every day and get it where they could or they were going to run out. Let's feed on the word of God. Let's look for food every day. Let's not let it run out. We never know when we're going to need it. Number three, we have to be part of a group. We can't be too individualistic. You know, the pioneers that went out all by themselves, a lot of them they never heard from again. But if they went in groups, they could help each other out. And that's how it is with the church today. We're going to be individualistic and go out on a limb on our own and think we have it all figured out. Probably not going to come back alive. We have to be part of a group. Number four, we have to be ready to be ridiculed. We're going to face hardship just like Paul did. We have to be ready to be ridiculed. You know, they made a lot of fun of those pioneers when they went out into the wilderness. Made a lot of fun of them that they would leave and go out and do all that. You read some of those stories. But when they came back later on, all of a sudden they realized, you know what, it was worth it. Now they wanted to go and see what they had found. Some of the glowing stories they wrote, I don't know if they're all, maybe they were maybe glamorized just a little bit to get people to go there. Number five, we have to be willing to suffer. Be a pioneer, we have to be willing to suffer. Are we willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel? And number six, we need to look to our leader, especially Jesus Christ. We have to look to the leaders of the group. If we're going to be a pioneer, the pioneers needed something to keep them together, keep them unified, keep them safe. They needed to listen on each other, but they needed a leader for that group. And we need our leader, Jesus Christ. And every group needs leaders. We need to be leaders in the church. We need to be leaders in our home. Some people are leaders in the school. We all have leaders, and we all look to leaders. We are all leaders. We are leaders. You know, all of us individually are a leader in something. Need to be. But we all have leaders above us that we need to look to for direction. If we're going to be successful, to be a pioneer. sometimes maybe we wished we had lived several hundred years ago and been part of that, because it looks exciting looking back. You know, people of every age can be a pioneer in something that's so much more valuable and worthwhile. And I want to bless those that are leaving this week. I don't want to glamorize it too much, but we want to bless those that are leaving and wish you God's blessing as you go and are a pioneer for the gospel in Bangladesh, and encourage you in whatever hardships you'll face. We'll try to remember to text you. We definitely will pray for you as you go, and we want God to keep you safe. You know, not everyone comes back. Not everyone comes back, even in today's day and age. But we don't need to let fear drive us, but we have to be real with that. But it's worth whatever it takes to be a pioneer for Christ. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we want to come before you now at this moment. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. We want to lift up his name above every name, and we want to have our lives dependent upon him. We want our lives to show him to other people around us. Father, help us to live as he did, and to be humble and to be meek and to be willing to be used and to serve. Father, help us to be whatever vessel you want us to be. Help us to be willing to be filled with whatever you want us to be filled with, knowing that whatever it is something that is useful in your kingdom if you ask us to do it. Father, whether it's going to a far country, or whether it's a sickness that we have to bear, or some other problem that we have to deal with that you just won't seem to take away from us, Lord, help us to be willing to contain it in our vessel and use it as something that can further your kingdom. Pray now that you bless each one. Bless the little ones among us as they learn. Bless the young people as they understand. Bless the young married ones in the church as they take up the work. Bless those that are dealing with failing health and looking to crossing the river. We just pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us in our stage of life to be who you want us to be. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.